It's Saturday morning, time for Green Country Gardener on K1 AM 1400 and 93.3 FM. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, Jensen Tractor Ranch, Peters True Value, American Heritage Bank, Bartlesville, Pahuska, Barnstall, and the Osage Region, Enterprise Sod Store, ABS Performance, Patriot GMC Hyundai, and Overlees Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass. And this is Green Country Gardener on your Saturday morning. Larry is over to get the microphone, ready to take your calls. Good morning, Mr. Glass.
Charlie, good morning. Good to see you today.
Well, nice to be seen. I suppose so the rest of us, the listeners, don't get to see me on a regular basis. So I guess it's nice to be heard, too.
That's probably a good thing. They don't get to see me either.
There you go.
Weather.
Yeah, I definitely have a face for radio. So anyway, you were talking about the weather? Yeah.
What weather?
Oh, well, exactly.
Actually, it's been pretty good.
I was going to say, for just doing things outside.
Doing things outside, it's been very good.
Yeah.
It's getting a little bit on the dry side, though. So you're going to have to get busy.
Okay. Well, I will say that, again, it's going to be pretty pleasant for doing things outside much of the week. We do have you get towards next weekend, and that's kind of iffy. I don't like to talk about forecasts that far away, but there is at least a 40% chance next weekend. We'll see how things go, but we need moisture.
Yeah, I know.
You and I were looking at lake levels, though. Copan and Hula are, right about where they should be this time of year.
Where they should be.
About one-tenth of a percent into the flood pool. So
it's not going to rain, so we just have to buy our water.
Yes. But the good thing is plants generally, outdoor plants, don't need a lot of water this time of year, but they still do need some.
There does come a break point, though.
Yeah.
It is going to get warm this coming week,
mm-hmm.
and that can cause some issues with the plants getting overheated, actually,
mm-hmm.
and not having enough water in the roots to take it, especially your evergreens, like your hollies and other things like that. If they're really dry and there's no moisture to draw up and it gets warm, it can cause some problems.
Yeah.
Some
now, you stress. And I don't talk about this a lot, but I know when I was working in more agricultural-based parts of the country, I would get readings every day from National Weather Service on the temperature 4 inches down into the dirt, because mm-hmm. that's what they were looking at as far as planting times and that sort of thing. How much does that temperature vary around here as far as down at the root level and where things actually germinate and seed and all that stuff?
It varies. Right now, it's about in the 40s.
Okay.
And then it'll go up to 65 or 70 in the summertime, mm-hmm. down deep in the roots.
Right.
But it is kind of cool down there right now, and then the roots are very slow. I mean, the metabolism's kind of slow.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get some hot, dry winds on top of the plant, so you get a transpiration, and then the moisture can't be drawn up, and that sort of breaks that cycle, and the plant dies.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily the cold that really knocks them out. It's the subsequent warming and drying,
mm-hmm.
that's going to happen. So we might, this weekend, it's going to be kind of nice.
Yeah.
Get out and water your plants.
Okay.
So it might seem kind of silly.
Well, not in one
but
sense.
But then again, considering what's going to happen with the weather, I think it would be a smart idea.
Well, that's kind of where I was going. But also, I was going to say, if it is, say, because it's going to be temperatures in the mid-60s much of the week, is that going to cause an early wake-up for plants if we give them adequate water and that sort of thing?
Some of the plants might start to get some bud swell, and that can be a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the saucer magnolias and the star magnolias, more so the saucers than the stars.
Yeah.
it's not like a sci-fi movie.
Well, if we see all these pods laying around by our beds at night, I guess we're going to start to wonder about those.
Those are the flower buds that fell off when it froze. But they do tend to develop pretty quickly and grow and bloom at just the first hint of any spring at all. So you might get some blooms and you get some damage on that. It'll diminish the blossom show when it really supposed to happen, but you'll still have a significant show.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a whole lot you can do about it. Just if they do open up this summer, just enjoy it.
Okay.
That's about all you can do. So, and then there'll be some in reserve that just aren't fully developed.
Okay.
They'll come again. So you might see some bud swell on some of those early blooming things. Forsythias, for instance, might be one that'll come out. And mm-hmm. your flowering quince. It'll be good if the flowering quince comes out because it doesn't mind the cold that well.
Okay.
And if it blooms before the leaves come out, they put on a really nice show. But a lot of times we have a whole lot of cold weather, and then bam, spring hits. The leaves and the flowers come out of the flowering quince at the same time, mm-hmm. and there's not a very significant flower shell on them.
Okay, that's because the plant is doing more and
it's
needs
all developing at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So right now you're if you do have some flowering quince, which not very many people do, they've sort of lost out on the popularity list. Mm-hmm. But anyway, if you do have some, don't trim them at this point because you'll cut all the flowers off.
Yeah, another one of those plants that bloom on old wood.
You bet.
And do you occasionally carry flowering quince at the nursery? Or
occasionally we can have some. Yeah, we've had some of the new varieties. There's some Japanese varieties that are really very attractive, mm-hmm. beautiful little things, and they're not that big a shrub. They're kind of small, and we get them in occasionally whenever they're available. Or if you really want one, we can get you one. But they're a very good old-fashioned plant that's easy to grow, thrives on neglect,
mm-hmm.
and they can get rather large and unruly and difficult. But if you just whack those waskily waskles back, after they bloom in the spring, they'll come back nice and fresh and be, attractive shrubs.
Okay.
And some of the new varieties are more compact than the others. So.
But again, still the rule is on all of them, don't whack them back this time of year.
Mm-hmm. Do it in May or so, then they'll grow out and develop flowers in July and August when they're supposed to.
Okay.
So anyway, that's just one plant, and that's kind of spring flowers in general. Your azaleas, I don't think the azaleas will come out. It's too dry for them really to come out. And as dry as it is for your azaleas, and them being evergreen, you do want to go ahead and irrigate your azaleas mm-hmm. this weekend because it's getting way too dry for them.
Okay.
Also, and this warm weather will spur on some growth, and it can get damaged from being too dry. And then all of a sudden, next weekend, it gets cold.
Right.
I did see the forecast around past the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, here come the polar bears again.
Yeah, I was going to say, the calendar still says winter.
Yeah.
But speaking of the calendar, and I know this is something that you're kind of looking up, several weeks toward, and you even mentioned before we opened up the microphones, looking at the calendar, you've got like 3 weeks till this and 5 weeks till something else, so we can, do other things to get ready to get busy in the garden here in not too long.
Yeah, your fruit trees, you want to start spraying them in about a week.
Okay.
Usually the first, middle of February, mm-hmm. you put down your lime sulfur on your peach tree so you don't get the peach leaf curl and the scab on your peaches.
Right.
Yuck. And
it just sounds awful. I get this mental image, and it doesn't actually relate to what's going on there, but I get this image of the scab on
exactly.
the peaches. Yeah.
They look kind of like that. No, but anyway, yeah, I've been working outside, you can tell. But anyway, and on your other fruit trees, the dormant oil, which will pretty much cut back your overwintering insects such as scale and other nasty little insects that mm-hmm. can get on your fruit trees and cause some problems. You want to go ahead and put some dormant oil on them, typically in about a week.
Right.
About a week from now, the temperature will start to go down. So I don't know if you're an early bird, you can do it this week. But I would probably wait till after the next cold spell to do it, realistically.
Okay.
So, but anyway, that's going to happen. Cold crops in about a week. Cold crops such as cabbage and radishes and whatnot.
Right.
They're about rutabagas.
Okay.
I think they're better planted in the fall, though. But anyway, they can be planted real soon, too.
Okay.
So that's about a week or so. Soil preparation, of course, is always in line. So if you haven't done anything on your plants, on your crop, on your garden,
right,
get it out. Come on. If you haven't done any soil prep on your garden, this will probably be a good opportunity to do it because the weather's going to be good. Mm-hmm. And there's another cold spell coming after this one.
Okay.
So it'll freeze the soil over there and loosen it up even more. So just do a rough spading of it at this point in time.
Got it.
And then go back inside.
Work for a little while and then go rest.
And then let the cold air do its bit on it, and it'll loosen it up even more. So ground prep maybe for your cold crops at this point in time. And then after the week after next, start planting things like carrots and radishes and cabbage and lettuce, things like that.
Right. Uh-huh. Just things that can, first of all, tolerate the cold and things that are typically the first up in the spring anyway.
Right. And then a couple of weeks later, you can get a crop of peas in before it gets cold, too.
Okay.
So, in the lawn, not much going on. We talked about getting the mower ready.
Mm-hmm.
Dethatch your weed, your lawn in about 3 weeks.
Say.
And moles, they're a little bit of a problem right now. They're kind of slow, but they're mm-hmm. still kind of a problem. And you might check out different methods of controlling the moles. There are several ways to do that. And some people have had good luck with one way, and some people have good luck with another way. We get customers in complaining about this doesn't work, but that does. And then the next guy comes in and says, well, that doesn't work, but this does. So it just depends on your situation and how you apply it and where you apply it, too.
Right.
You have to outsmart the little critters.
You have to be smarter than the mole, which doesn't sound like it's that big a deal, but frequently it is.
Well, yeah. You sort of have to think on that level. Moles have a primary throughway, and then they divide off into other branches to get chow.
Yeah.
And if they don't find anything, they back up and keep going down their main tunnel and branch off till they find something. So if you can find that main tunnel, chances are you can do some control.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had some fair luck with the little poison worms.
Okay.
Putting those in what I thought was the main tunnel.
So all you can do is think like a mole.
And I probably did some control on it, but didn't totally get rid of the little critter.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Okay.
That's that. So they say, I've read on the internet, they say the best way is to use the mole traps. The ones that sit on top.
And they poke their head up and they crawl right into it.
Yeah,
it
zaps them with the laser gun. like the saucers and the...
there you go. The saucers and the stars and the lasers.
The stars and the lasers, yeah.
Lions and tigers and bears, oh my.
So anyway.
21 minutes after 8 o'clock, we'll continue with Green Country Gardener coming up in just a moment.
If you're stuck in a dead-end job, looking to take the next step in your career, or simply want to break into the workforce, then you can't afford to miss the Tulsa Oilers Job Fair on Thursday, January 29th from 4 to 6 p.m. at the BOK Center. The Oilers and Northeastern State University are hosting some of Tulsa's top companies and leading employers who are looking for people with your skills and your talent. Update your resume and don't miss out on this opportunity. Stick around after the job fair because the Tulsa Oilers face off against the Brampton Beast at 7:05 p.m. on the BOK Center ice. Expand your network, create connections, and land the job of a lifetime at the Tulsa Oilers Job Fair presented by NSU. Call 918-632-PUT, 918-632-PUT for more details. Thursday, January 29th from 4 to 6 p.m. at the BOK Center. Let the Oilers help you take control of your future.
Copeland Appliance in Bartlesville and Samsung Appliances have great savings for you this month. Now through January 25th, buy a select Samsung front-end load washer or dryer and get a $100 Visa gift card. This offer good on select Samsung washers and dryers and on in-stock models only. Head to Copeland Appliance and check out the Samsung washers and dryers today. Service before and after the sale. That's Copeland Appliance on Adams Road next to Manly Animal Hospital.
You know it. And there are hundreds of Honda buyers who can say it with us. There's a better way to buy in Bartlesville. Hi, I'm Shelley. This is Jennifer, and you know where to find the better way to buy. BartlesvilleHonda.com. Honda of Bartlesville's incredible inventory of new Hondas. Over 400 to choose from online, and you know everything. They're all marked with our absolute lowest upfront price. You know it from the get-go, our absolute lowest upfront price, down to the penny, on the Honda you want. Guaranteed. BartlesvilleHonda.com. Oklahoma's largest selection of new and pre-owned Hondas. Over 400 in stock for immediate delivery. Always our lowest upfront price guarantee. A better way to buy, you know it. Log on, BartlesvilleHonda.com. And as we start our 6th year in business, one thing to say, thanks for your support. BartlesvilleHonda.com, the official website of Honda of Bartlesville. A better way to buy today. You know it.
AM 1400 and 93.3 FM K1. And, of course, the phone numbers that get you on Green Country Gardener, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We're anticipating your phone calls this morning, and it's kind of been a busy week at the garden, and I guess kind of getting ready for herb gardens, too, aren't we?
Yeah, have you ever really grown an herb garden?
I'm not really, no, not in your sense of the term. I have planted some parsley and some other things adjacent to more of a complementary crop to the tomatoes and that sort of thing. But
yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
But having an herb garden is kind of nice. You just go out the back door and pick the herbs you want and do your cooking.
Okay.
if you're as much of a chef as I am, I'm the head chef at our house. So
I frequently am, but that's more by default because I'm home before my wife is. So
anyway. Oh, there you go. So, herb gardens are just good to have around the house. They need a lot of open exposure. They typically need good drainage.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go ahead and plant your favorite herbs, typically in an herb garden. Mm-hmm. We sell at the nursery an awful lot of basil.
There's all kinds of good reasons for using basil, so uh-huh. That's not a problem.
Good stuff.
Basil, oregano.
Oregano, yeah. And rosemary, and a lot of, of sage, mm-hmm. too. So those make excellent plants. Easy to grow in this neck of the woods, too.
Are they perennials, or do they need to be, tended every year?
Some of them are, some of them aren't. The rosemary can be a perennial. But if you get a really cold winter, a mm-hmm. zinger of a winter, if you will, it can knock them out and you'll have to start again. And typically your sages and what are mostly annuals.
Mm-hmm.
So you might get some seedlings come back. I know the basil, especially the purple basil,
mm-hmm.
it just comes up all over the place.
Yeah.
So but it's a good one to have, too. It's good on your food. So I'm not much on using knowing exactly what herbs go where on what you're cooking.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that they're a real asset in the garden, and they're kind of fun to grow, too.
They are. And I'm assuming that it doesn't take a lot of space to get a decent crop that you can actually use.
Not really. You can pick a corner in the garden. You can make a raised bed. You can do it in a big pot.
Mm-hmm.
Strawberry jars make really good herb gardens.
Makes good sense. Yeah.
Because they have with the little ears on it that come out. And I sort of like to put a pipe down the middle and fill that full of water to water it so the water gets down to the bottom.
Okay.
Because there is such a great distance from the top to the bottom. Some people have difficulty getting water down there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put a perforated pipe in there, which can simply be a one-inch PVC pipe with holes in it.
Okay.
Drill little holes up and down in it, put a cap on the bottom of the pipe,
mm-hmm.
and fill that up with water now and then. Little tiny holes.
Okay.
Like 1/8 of an inch.
To take your smallest drill bit, and that ought to be good enough.
Mm-hmm. And drill about every inch or so up and down, and then you can just fill that up with water, and it'll seep out and get the water down below where it needs, as well as up on the top.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not simply just a matter. A lot of people fail on these because they can't get the water to the core of the plant because mm-hmm. it's just so far away.
Right.
So, that's a good way to get water down there. But anyway, the strawberry jar herb gardens can be very attractive, too, in the landscape.
Okay.
Different colors of leaves and herbs, and some of them that flower, too.
Right.
Kind of nice. You might even blend some flowers in with it just to give it some extra interest. And the butterflies tend to like these things, too.
That was going to be my next comment, is that it will draw them in, and whether they feed off those crops or they simply observe them and say there might be some other good food around here, take a look around, mm-hmm. you're going to get them in your garden.
Yeah, typically they go after the flowers on them. Mm-hmm. And also the squirrels like them, too.
Yeah, well, there's no accounting for taste.
I guess so. But anyway, you might consider an herb garden this next year because they're easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the best thing, that the easiest way to make them easy is to have an easy way to water them. I use that word too much.
Well, it's okay.
But anyway, you can. There's kind of a shortcut you can do there. Let's see, in the lawn, I think we talked about dethatching.
You at least mentioned that it's on the calendar uh-huh. a few weeks on down the road.
I wouldn't do it quite yet because there is a chance of some cold weather coming mm-hmm. on after this next week. Don't let the weather fool you.
So more like 3 or 4, maybe even as far as 5 or 6 weeks on down the road.
February is typically one of our colder and wetter winter months, mm-hmm. so it's not over yet. Shrubs, just water, pruning, planting, transplanting, and bone meal on your crepe myrtles.
Mm-hmm.
3 months away, you're going to have some emergence on your crepe myrtles, so it wouldn't hurt to put a little bone meal around them right soon.
Okay.
And also iron on your holly plants. Look at the leaves on your hollies, and if they're looking a little pale,
mm-hmm.
And if you see some yellow leaves here and there that just don't, and the leaves are getting a little smaller than they should be, you might consider putting some iron sulfate around them.
Okay.
And that can take the form of a product we have called copperas. We sell an awful lot of this stuff. Copperas, mm-hmm. which is iron sulfate.
Right.
And
iron 2 sulfate, but yeah. No, that's copperic. I forget. Anyway, go ahead.
FeSO4.
Yeah.
Right?
Sounds right, yes.
Yeah, and that gives you some sulfur and some iron in the soil, which helps cure iron chlorosis.
Mm-hmm.
Iron chlorosis is a problem when the pH is too low and the iron is deficient, and the active transport tissues and the root hairs can't take up nutrients because the pH isn't right. So things like hollies and azaleas can benefit significantly from some iron sulfate because our soil here, for the most part, typically tends to run somewhat alkaline. So you want to counteract that somewhat on these foreign plants, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hollies such as the deciduous holly are adapted to the area, and they don't really require that.
Okay.
And yaupon hollies, a lot of times, can do without it, unless you have a real severe situation. I just like to put it around my dwarf yaupons just for some better color. It makes the green a little bit deeper, and they seem to like it. And it does. It's good for the boxwoods too, to darken the green color on your boxwoods.
Okay.
So if your plants are looking a little lethargic, maybe the pH is a bit too high, and maybe your iron is a bit too low.
So pH, a relatively easy test. You have some test kits at the nursery, but still probably the best way to get the most information, take a good sample over to the extension office, and they'll run the test.
Of course, in all the years of doing this, I can kind of look at plants and tell what they need.
Yeah, well, not all of us have your expertise.
Just by looking at them. So anyway, check it out. Check out the iron sulfate. Look it up if you want to. One thing you ought to plan for this coming spring are insects.
Oh, I don't want to plan for them.
Well, you got
to. They got their own plan.
Bugs. They got a plan. They're going to eat your landscape.
That's
lunch.
Right, yeah.
And they're going to love it, too. I don't know, depending on the weather, depending on the lushness of the plants and all that. Last year, we've gotten away from a whole lot of damage from insects, really.
Yeah.
But this year, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
The population was probably bounding back from being knocked back the last 2 years.
How cold it is this winter and how much moisture we get this summer, I guess.
Hadn't been that bad. It's been about average so far in the winter. We've had a couple little cold spills, but it's nothing disastrous like we've had in the last few years.
No. But
so it's been average. It's a little drier, though.
Yeah.
But you can anticipate maybe some insects. And one plant that tends to get them that really catches people off guard all the time are the azaleas. And the lace bugs on your azaleas. They always catch people off guard. Mm-hmm. And they come in with the pleas, and it's too late.
Yeah.
You need to do something about the lace bugs before the middle of May.
How early are we talking about? February? January?
Oh,
March?
St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
March, April, or May, in that time frame. Mm-hmm. The lace bugs really haven't grown out and matured quite that much until it starts to get a little bit warm.
Yeah.
It sort of come out about the same time the mites do.
The invasion of the insects. Okay.
Yeah. With those stars and saucers. But anyway.
I can hear the Darth Vader theme in the background.
So you want to plan ahead for things like that because it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It always does every year. Now, 10 years ago, lace bugs.
I'm glad they don't come in bergs. Yeah.
Well, they probably do.
Oh.
But anyway, lace bugs weren't much of a problem about 10 years ago, but it seems to have developed and really gotten to be a problem around here.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you know if you have lace bugs on your azaleas? Well, look on the underside of the leaves and look for brown spots under the leaf.
Okay.
And on the top of the leaf, the leaf is kind of an olive drab green color rather than a really nice dark rich green color. It's olive drab.
Mm-hmm.
And the newly emerging leaves will come out and look really nice, but then a couple of weeks later, they're all olive drab. And the leaf actually gets somewhat skeletonized by these insects.
Hmm.
It does scrape out the layer with the little proboscis in between the outer and inner layer of the leaves, which is known as the palisade mesophyll.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where all the goody is. And they'll just go in and slurp that out through those little holes they put in there and turn your beautiful azalea into an olive drab, half-dead plant. So what to control them with? Systemic insecticide works rather well.
Okay. So you can go in and ask for that either by brand name or by the generic category, and you've got it for them.
Just a systemic insecticide. We have one called Triple Action, which is a topical application, and it does a good job on mites and fungus and other bugs, too.
Yeah, topical as in you apply it to the surface
apply
of the
surface. Yeah. Uh-huh. And you do that every once in a while. A systemic insecticide, you typically apply it to the ground, and the plant draws it up and makes itself toxic to the insect. Typically, they use a pyrethroid type insecticide that's kind of a nerve agent to control them. So that's kind of how that works. So lace bugs will be a problem. Mites, spider mites will be a problem too, but the systemic insecticides don't work on spider mites.
Mm.
They are not an insect.
No, they're not.
Mm-hmm. Used to be we could use Dicistan on the spider mites, but we can't get Dicistan anymore.
FDA did you a favor there.
Thank
kinda,
you.
Kind of, sort of.
Yeah, I guess so.
918-336-1400. 835, taking your phone calls on the other side of the break on K1.
OK Federal Credit Union is open to anyone that lives, works, or worships in Washington, Osage, or Nowata counties. Being a Bartlesville-based credit union since 1955, they know their members. OK Federal Credit Union has checking accounts with no monthly fee and actually pays you a dividend as long as your balance stays over $400. With competitive rates for cars, boats, RVs, and more, OK Federal Credit Union will make your dreams a reality. Stop by and join OK Federal Credit Union today at 3900 Southeast Adams Road or visit their website at okfcu.org. OK Federal Credit Union. They want to be your credit union.
Adding indoor plants, tropical plants, and cactus to your home makes a difference. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road has tropical and indoor plants and a variety of cactus to choose from. For outdoors, save 30% off 5-gallon trees. Green Thumb has a large selection of sale items, too. Their winter hours are 10 to 4, Friday and Saturday only. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
It's the start of 2015, which means Jensen Tractor Ranch in Bartlesville is recognizing a special birthday. New Holland was founded in 1895, and they're celebrating 120 years of farming innovations by offering 0% financing or cash back on select New Holland tractors and equipment. Jensen Tractor Ranch has the full list of eligible equipment, and that includes virtually every new model, tractor, hay, forage, harvesting, material handling, and light construction equipment from New Holland. Hurry, these offers end March 31st, so visit Jensen Tractor Ranch in Bartlesville today. Jensen Tractor Ranch has been selected for the 2014 Best of Bartlesville Awards for Farm Equipment and Supplies. For commercial use only, 0% financing offer subject to credit qualification and CNH Industrial Capital approval. CNH Capital standard terms and conditions apply. Down payment may be required. Certain other restrictions apply. Offer ends March 31st, 2015. See your participating New Holland dealer for details.
If there's a tractor in your future, Jensen's got it. Jensen Tractor Ranch, saving prices guaranteed. Bartlesville's New Holland team.
918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. The numbers get you on the air for Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Taking your phone calls, we talked a little about the weather as far as the lakes are in pretty good shape, but ground moisture is somewhat needed. And talk about some of the things that you can get done this time of year, getting ready for spring and summer.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, getting ready for spring. Best thing you can do right now is to make sure your plants are well watered.
Yes.
We talked about that earlier. So, because it is kind of dry, take a little shovel and dig a hole near your plants and just look at the soil conditions.
Yeah, that'll tell you a lot.
If you really don't want to drag out the holes and da-da-da-da-da or unwinterize the sprinkler system,
yes,
then you might want to just check it out. And look underneath the eave of the plant of the house, because I know some people have a wide eave in the house, some people don't have any eave at all.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, check the moisture level close to the house and see how it is. And it'll kind of tell you what's going on.
Which might tell you that the foundation needs watering too. But
you bet. So anyway, we talk about that too sometime, but maybe when it rains again.
Okay. I'm not sure I want to wait that long. 918-336-1400. Good morning, caller. You are on Green Country Gardener. How can we help you out today?
Yes. I was going to trim my rose bushes, finally.
Yes.
And I couldn't remember if you trim above the node or below, right at the node.
Just a bit above the node, just a little bit above the node.
Oh, okay. That's what I did.
And try to make the uppermost node when you cut pointing outwards.
I'm sorry?
Try to make the uppermost node that you cut it. Try to make that that cut so the the leaf bud.
Yeah.
So the leaf bud is pointing outwards.
Oh, gotcha.
And okay. Then that will that will ensure that the rows will be a broader shape that way.
Right. Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, thank you for calling.
918-336-1400. And, you know, we've always got great listeners, but some of the questions they come up with, it's nice to see that they're adding to what you're already telling them.
You bet. They're listening. Yay.
Oh, yeah, got the message out though on that one.
We were talking about bugs.
Yes.
And we talked about lace bugs on azaleas and whatnot. And mites. Mites are a real bad problem. They get on your azaleas.
Mm-hmm.
They get on your Mughal pines. Your boxwoods especially, make them smell like a kennel. And and some other insects, I mean other plants rather. They're kind of hard to control, really, because mm-hmm. they their gestation period is about 3 days.
That long.
And they just multiply exponentially when the weather gets warm. Mm-hmm. So one way is to apply a topical application with a sprayer, some pyrethroid-based insecticides that mm-hmm. seem to control them pretty well. Pyrethrins are generally very safe to use.
Yes.
So they're chrysanthemum derivatives. Although some of them are synthesized, they mock the properties of natural pyrethroids. Mm-hmm. So you can use that. Neem oil is another one.
Right.
It works a lot like a dormant oil, but it's safe to use in the summer. And also, it's a life cycle interrupter for insects.
Yes.
Like grasshoppers and whatnot and other nasty critters. If they get this neem oil on them, it kind of stops metamorphosis. Mm-hmm. So it's a good idea to apply that occasionally, too. It's a little expensive, but it's very effective.
Yeah.
And it's extraordinarily safe, too. Neem oil is very safe to use. So mites is kind of an ongoing thing because we don't have the dicistan anymore to keep them under control. So.
Right. Kind of have to just deal with those on a regular basis?
Yeah.
You can, I think you said you can knock them back somewhat with a soap solution, but that you have to reapply about every 3 days, so it becomes a hassle.
Well, once you get that cycle's arrested, you begin to get some control. Mm-hmm. So you just have to apply it and reapply it and get, if you do have a real problem with them. And I've seen people's marigolds just covered in mites.
Ooh.
It's just awful.
Yeah.
And typically we think of marigolds as something that doesn't get any insect problems. Mm-hmm. Some people think they actually stink.
Yeah.
They smell pretty good.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you can use...
Congressman Everett Dirksen is famous for his marigold gardens, and his hometown has a marigold festival every year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was, probably still is, an Everett Dirksen marigold, too.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I met him when I was a youngster. Nice guy.
I was in Illinois, in fact, when he was around
okay.
at the time. So, yeah. I really admired him, even as a kid.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway, that's cool.
Yeah.
So mites are a problem, and they get on your tomatoes also.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to be very safe what you use in your tomatoes. And typically, the botanical pyrethroids are very safe to use around your tomatoes, as well as the neem oil.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the bifenthrin and resmethrin and all that, they can be a little stout on your food crops, so you might not want to use them.
Okay.
But typically, I like to just use soap and water on them.
Okay.
So.
Sounds good.
That
soap and water works.
Yep.
We'll take a break and invite more of your phone calls as we continue on Green Country Gardener in just a moment.
For people on the move, download American Heritage Bank's mobile app for the Android or iPhone today. It's convenient, easy, and secure. View your balances, recent transactions, transfer funds, pay bills using our Bill Pay service, or locate an American Heritage Bank branch or ATM that's close to you. It's simply better banking. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. And remember to like us on Facebook.
Enterprise Sod Store has everything you need to make your lawn and garden spectacular. They have mulch, topsoil, even gravel for driveways, all sold in bulk quantities and at bulk pricing, saving you money. All materials Enterprise sells can be delivered, saving you time. Start your lawn and landscaping projects today. Call the sod expert, Enterprise Sod Store, at 918-333-6888 or stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. The numbers to get you on the air for Green Country Gardener. Got about roughly 15 minutes yet to take your calls on your questions. Give Larry a call and we'll hopefully keep you from cutting up a plant that blooms on old wood and missing out on some bloom show this spring.
Yeah. When it comes to pruning, though, you want to get after it on your maples and your birch.
Okay.
In about a week or so, the sap's going to start running on those.
So trim away on them quickly.
It won't hurt it to cut it after the sap runs, but it's just kind of a waste of energy on the plant's part if you do that. So.
Yeah. And don't park the car underneath it.
No, it'll get real sticky.
Yeah.
And you put it in reverse and it just won't go. The tires will stick to the ground. Okay. One question people have is, how much compost do I need for my beds?
Well, I think typically you say about a 2 to 3 inch layer.
A 2 to 3 inch layer. Yeah. How do you calculate that?
I have no idea.
Well, it's easy. Just one bag for every 12 square feet.
Oh, okay.
Pretty simple.
Yeah.
But you have to know your square feet before that. So if you're going to come by and get some compost for your soil. You really need the soil. And you ask how much, and, well, it's all relative to how much surface area you have. So know your surface area first.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll go in and I'll say, well, where do you live and all that? And I can kind of judge by the type of houses in that particular neighborhood and how many feet are across the front of the bed and all that. And I can kind of tell them how much that way.
Yeah.
If, say they live in Sooner Park, well, your front bed is going to be about 18 to 20 feet wide. And typically they're about 3 feet wide. So that kind of tells you how many to put.
Yeah. There. So plus or minus a bag, you'll be
so
real
that's,
close.
That's nine. That's nine bags.
Yeah.
So anyway,
okay. It makes sense that you got to know your square footage in order to figure out how many bags.
Don't forget to use it when you're planting your trees. We make it a standard operating procedure to put compost in the soil when we plant our trees. Mm-hmm. Unless the soil is really good,
right?
Then it stays on the truck.
Oh, okay.
But, but if the soil is kind of bad, and when we get a customer request to come plant a tree, I look at the address, they go, oh, no.
It's
going to
take a ton.
Get the rock bar. get the pick. And anyway, we can get them in pretty quickly that way. And I say, put on double compost. It just depends on where they are.
Okay.
And how good a soil you have is how much you put on there. And it's also a good idea to mulch the surface of it.
Mm-hmm.
You plant the top of the root ball flush with the top of the surrounding soil. And then you put about a 2-inch layer of mulch. So regardless of where we go, we throw a bag of mulch on the truck, too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And if it is in a really bad area, we'll take some soil, too, and add that to the soil. It saves a trip back, you know.
Well, yeah.
So anyway. And the mulch on the top helps prevent that root mass from drying out prematurely.
Okay.
So you want to add some of that as a surface treatment, too. Typically one bag around a good-sized tree.
Okay.
One bag of mulch, two cubic foot bag around it.
Just to help hold moisture and keep the stuff from growing up where close to around the root ball.
Exactly. It helps protect your tree from grass crawling up there for at least some time and helps prevent damage from weed eaters. That's the biggest problem people have with their trees are themselves or a mowing company going in and unconsciously cutting the bark with a weed eater and actually severing the connection between the roots and the top, and the plant dies.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be very careful not to get that on there. And there are weed whacker guards you can get to stop that, or just have a little bed around it.
You have a caller? Yes, we do. Good morning, caller. You're on Green Country Gardener. How can we help you out this morning?
Yes, I did not get my daffodils bulbs put in this year. Can I do it now during this warm phase?
Oh, yeah. You can do it now before the 1st of February. You should be okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's right soon. That's 7 days away.
Yay. Well, okay, I think I can do it then.
Yeah, be sure, because it is really kind of dry, to water it real well when you plant them.
Okay.
So have a bucket of water handy and water that in, and then they'll take off a little better. Put them in dry soil, they'll still sit there and not grow.
Okay.
So give them some water.
Do they need sun, or can they tolerate partial sun?
They can tolerate partial sun.
Okay.
But the more sun, the better and the healthier and the stockier and the bigger the blooms are going to be.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much for calling. And 918-336-1400 to the number to call. And we'll get you on the air in just a moment.
The most important feature in a window is trust. So go with a name you know, Anderson, the time-proven choice found in more homes than any other. And Anderson is the brand rated by builders as the most weather-tight, highest quality, and most durable. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson, the most trusted name in windows. See Anderson Windows and Doors at Overly Woods Lumber Company on No Water Road in Bartlesville. Adding indoor plants, tropical plants, and cactus to your home makes a difference. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road has tropical and indoor plants and a variety of cactus to choose from. For outdoors, save 30% off 5-gallon trees. Green Thumb has a large selection of sale items too. Their winter hours are 10 to 4, Friday and Saturday only. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road in Bartlesville.
918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Taking your calls this morning on Green Country Gardener this morning. Got about 10 minutes yet before we get to news time. But it's not too late to get those bulbs in the ground. But daffodils, some of the that there are early, middle, and late blooming daffodils. But some of the other, going to be a good time for crocus to be popping their head up here real soon.
Yeah, my little daffodils are up right now.
Okay.
Usually they bloom, the middle of March. But they're up. Their leaves are just peeking up over the surface,
mm-hmm.
like little periscopes. Is it okay? And they're planted on the south side, and there's the stone wall of the house is right there. And so it's a little bit warmer in that area than it is in most. So mm-hmm. they're coming up.
Right there, just at periscope depth, though. Okay.
They're just up, sitting there, little. Is it ready yet? Sending out their little probes up there just to see.
Yep.
And then when it gets consistently warm, okay, it's time to go, guys. Another
full
year.
Speed ahead.
But anyway, we were talking a little bit about water, mm-hmm. and how to manage it properly.
Yeah.
In the landscape.
Mostly with mulch, but yeah.
And you can do that by choosing plants that really don't require a lot of water. A lot of your common shrubs actually would tolerate a fair amount of drought.
Mm-hmm.
I know the dwarf yaupon holly is one, which is a really nice little green shrubby thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the nandinas can take some drought pretty well, too.
Well, yeah, they don't get a lot of rainfall on Mars.
No, they don't. But if you want to really see some plants that'll tolerate drought, go to Las Vegas.
Makes sense.
It's cool. Airline fares are getting a little cheaper.
Yes, they are.
So you can go over there and stay in a really nice hotel, too. You get these things in the mail all the time. But anyway. So anyway, whenever we go there, that's what I do. I look
Welcome
at the plants.
To the Green Country Gardener and Cruise Show. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, jeez. No, I look at the plants when I go there. And a lot of cherry laurels,
mm-hmm.
actually, and which have a waxy leaf on them.
Right.
And the boxwoods, which have a waxy leaf on them. And nandinas, which are kind of the same, little waxy leaf on them, too.
Hollies, waxy leaf, generally?
Not so many hollies there, really.
Huh.
It's really... kind of members of the prunus family, Laura petalums will do pretty well over there too. An awful lot of rosemary,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of pick up a cue from that, even though it doesn't freeze there. Some of the plants they have there we still use over here, and it's very dry over there, and that kind of gives you an idea of what will grow in a very dry situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the soil in which they're planted. It's really nice stuff.
Yeah,
they go in and really prepare it good. So that's also part of it, too. If you have a soil that the plants will really grow out and exploit,
mm-hmm.
and really get a big root, big deep root system on them, the plants will do a whole lot better.
Okay.
If you cut back on your expenses on anything, just cut back on the size of the plant. Don't cut back on your quality of your soil preparation. You want to make sure that it's good enough so the roots can really stretch out and grow into that stuff.
Okay.
That means a lot of compost, a lot of happy frog. So if you want this big, glorious landscape, but don't start with, and your budget's a little tight, don't mm-hmm. go with big plants. Maybe go with smaller plants, but really beef up the soil. And in a couple of years, you'll have the big plants.
Okay. Sounds like a plan. Sounds like a workable plan.
So that's kind of a very important thing in the first thing in xerographic landscaping,
mm-hmm.
is having the soil deeply and properly prepared. Secondarily is plant selection. And we do have a good selection of plants that tolerate the drought. You don't have to go with yuccas and pear cactus and stuff like that. No.
No.
But
it takes more landscape than you know on some mm-hmm. of those. Yeah.
And also a heavy application of mulch on the surface, too.
Okay.
You do a lot. So if you got your water bill like I got mine, water's kind of expensive, even in the wintertime.
Yes.
So that can help save you some water, too, by a good mulch application.
Okay. 918-336-1400. We'll take our final break of the program and your phone calls in just a moment.
OK Federal Credit Union is open to anyone that lives, works, or worships in Washington, Osage, or Nowata counties. Being a Bartlesville-based credit union since 1955, they know their members. OK Federal Credit Union has checking accounts with no monthly fee and actually pays you a dividend as long as your balance stays over $400. With competitive rates for cars, boats, RVs, and more, OK Federal Credit Union will make your dreams a reality. Stop by and join OK Federal Credit Union today at 3900 Southeast Adams Road or visit their website at okfcu.org. OK Federal Credit Union. They want to be your credit union.
If your yard is not flourishing, consider this. Talk to the experts at Enterprise Sod Store. They will tell you that sod is the answer to an instant yard and is mostly weed-free. Enterprise Sod has three kinds of sod, Bermuda, Zoysia, and Fescue. They'll pick up and deliver your sod and train you how to install and care for your sod. If you're a current or new new homeowner or a landscaper or contractor, call the sod experts at Enterprise Sod Store 918-333-6888. Stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
And we're headed into the final 5 minutes of the program, but that's certainly more than enough time to answer your question. Give us a call, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Talked about mulch, talked about preserving moisture in the garden or in your yard, I guess, for that matter. What's new at the nursery? You're still gearing up for spring.
We are gearing up for spring. Gary and I have been looking through the bookings and availability of plants and things, and we did a lot of that in October, and then they send us more stuff to look at.
Oh, sure.
And then we get to pick out all kinds of new, exciting new plants coming out. So
the cloners have been busy, no
doubt. Oh, yeah, they've been sending the clones. They've been busy, yeah.
918-336-1400. Good morning, caller. You're on Green Country Gardener. What can we do for you this morning?
I guess wrong number.
Sir? Oh, wrong number. Okay. Well, we'll try. Thank you so much for calling, and sorry we couldn't answer a garden question for you this morning.
One thing we might think about right now are the birds.
Right.
I was driving down the road and saw a big old flock of birds flying around, just hovering over the sky.
Mm.
And then there was a puddle on the side of the ground.
Okay.
And they all converged in that puddle and just jumped on it and were drinking and stuff, whatever birds do in a puddle.
Right.
Then the cars would come by, they fly up and hover around and go down back and forth. So I think that's kind of a sign to me that they need a little bit of water, so you might keep the bird bath full.
Okay.
This time of year especially. Mm-hmm. I've got one in my yard, and I try to keep it full, but most of the time.
Well, you and I have talked in the past, not recently, about keeping the bird bath full and having a seed collection, whether you're just throwing the seeds on the ground or have something hanging so the squirrels won't get to it, and inviting the birds into your backyard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got black oil sunflower seeds, and I just got to scatter them on the patio, and they tend to enjoy that, and got a couple of bird feeders, homemade bird feeders they really like too. So yeah, go ahead and feed the birds and plant some plants that they really like, like the hollies, and some cherry laurels, and actually they kind of like privet plants too, and so on, and I've got some of those in the yard and they really like them.
Okay.
So plan for them, and you can integrate that into your landscape, and everybody benefits, really. You get the beautiful birds to look at, and then you get some pretty plants, too. So plan for those, too, if you will.
Okay. We've got about roughly 3 minutes. What else do
3 minutes. Yeah. Okay. On your weeds in your lawn right now.
Don't have too many right now. They kind of died out.
That's what you think.
Oh.
They're going to be coming up soon. I looked at my yard yesterday at lunch. I went home and looked at it. Oh my gosh, I got weeds coming up.
Yeah.
This week they're really gonna flourish.
They will.
So it's going to be warm enough to put some Roundup on this week.
Okay.
And the Bermuda grass is still dormant, unless you have fescue grass. But anyway, and it'd be a good time to control them if you missed the boat, which I did in October.
Okay.
September, October with the pre-emergent.
You were too busy working in somebody else's yard.
Exactly. Well, anyway. So anyway, it'd be a good time to apply some Roundup real soon to control those nasty, waskily little weeds in the yard, too.
Yeah.
So that's coming up pretty soon, too. Else in the garden, hold off on the fertilizing on your trees and shrubs. It's a little early yet. You might want to brace for that at least and get something. And get something that's got some good trace elements in it, too, because our soil here is lacking in a lot of those. So use the good stuff on your trees. They'll be healthier.
Okay. And the same thing for your yard. You've mentioned this. Go for the trace elements, particularly if you're a fescue yard type person. You need a little bit of extra copper and that sort of thing.
You're not growing cotton, so you don't need like a 10-20-10.
Yeah. Just
which is 90% gypsum. You want some really good fertilizer. We've got some several formulations at the nursery that have the traces in it. Mm-hmm. I like to use on my shrubs the milorganite fertilizer.
Sure.
It has 4% iron in it, which is really good for your plants. And you can't burn your plants with it. You can put a whole bag around a single plant and it won't burn it. It's that gentle. And it's good stuff. And it's not the cheapest in the world, but I think you get better results from a fertilizer that has the nutrients that are not only immediately available, but available to the plant over a longer period of time through the natural decomposition of the material too, and having the elemental iron available to it, which is very available to the plant also, they benefit significantly from that. So you might consider that too. It looks your boxwoods look very good. The planted milorganite, your dwarf yopon hollies, they just they just smile, you know, when you put
thank
it on.
Thank you, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, they really do like that stuff. And you can't hurt your plants with it. So if you're kind of worried about over-applying it, I've seen some people just pour the chemical fertilizers on their plants, mm-hmm. and they just burn up.
Yeah.
Why do my plants die?
You know, you killed
it. See a big clump of fertilizer right down there. That's why. It's actually a salt, and it can cause some issues.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying chemical fertilizers are bad, but use them properly.
Okay.
And then when you do them and you dig them in the ground, use a sharp shovel, guy.
All right.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall.